Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's episode, we're going to visit a place which has just hosted an event that provided a deeper sense of community for a portion of our society that often finds itself ostracized and misunderstood, even though members of this portion of society have had a history of providing us with a deeper sense of morality, understanding of history, and an alternative way of looking at our current world through the use of creativity, courage, and a true sense of justice. Because the organization we're visiting is a public entity, it often has to endure the scrutiny of knee-jerk reactions from community members that don't seem to understand how being a public place works. And while it's easy to focus on individual behavioral anomalies, this organization is pledged to provide free and convenient access to a world of ideas, to accurate information, and to the creative experience that is of vital importance to everyday citizens. Serving over 400,000 people in six different counties, the Great River Regional Library has just recently hosted its first ever Comic-Con. For those not familiar with what a Comic-Con is, well, I dare say that you've been hiding under a rock, because it's a place for geeks, nerds, cosplayers, dungeon masters, artists, writers, fanboys and fangirls, Magic the Gathering, Pokemon, anime, and a plethora of other creative, make-believe, role-playing, and comic book realities. And on a warm Saturday, not so long ago in St. Cloud, the Great River Regional Library hosted well over 500 people, and it was able to boast multiple artists, an artist panel, games for all ages, costuming, scavenger hunts, and the latest Star Wars movie, all of which was determined to be an unexpected success, and there are plans for another Comic-Con next year. But more on that later. Right now, though, let's start off by talking with one of the organizers, comic book geek and dude dressed like Darth Vader, Neil Vig.
My name is Neil Vig. I'm the patron services coordinator here at the St. Cloud Public Library. I'm part of the committee that kind of put this event together. So we had weekly meetings to kind of see what we want to do, what's going to work, what kind of ideas we can kind of throw out there and see what people enjoy.
So how did you figure a Comic-Con might be a good idea?
Well, you know, there's a lot of nerds out in the world. And
because St. Cloud hasn't had one yet.
Not really, nope.
No. Okay.
Nope, the closest thing would probably be the LionCon that they have in September with the Lionheart Games.
Okay.
But yeah, so we're really excited for this today.
Well, it looks like there's definitely a bunch of interest. Can you describe what it was like starting out?
As soon as we opened the doors, people were kind of waiting for everything to get started. People are coming in costumes, so it's always fun to see what people are going to dress up as. So that's always been exciting to see, for sure.
What's your favorite costume so far? Or most obscure? Have you known what everything is? Because some of these things, I might not know what they are. Some of them I do. They're very ingenious.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of weird anime ones that I'm not familiar with.
Yeah.
And I saw there's one real cool Red Fox. I'm not quite sure what that's from, but it looked a real cool costume with like a detachable jaw and stuff.
Well, very cool. So you think you're going to do this again?
We're hoping to. And we'll kind of see what else we can do for next year and what we can change up and see what new things we can bring in for sure.
Yeah, see what kind of talent you can attract,
yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, as soon as we posted this on Facebook, then it just exploded with people wanting to come and help out and set up tables, be a vendors and stuff like that. So I think next year if we do it again, it'll be much bigger with a lot more involvement with the community too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got a lot of people around, so that's really cool. So
yeah, we got role-playing games, magic, comic artists, creators.
Yeah, why don't you give kind of a rundown? Because I know there's magic going on, there's D&D going on, there's Pokemon going on. What all is happening?
Ale Garza was here this morning till about 12:30. He's done some work with DC and Marvel and a few other publishers. He was here doing a meet and greet, did a bunch of sketches for people. We've got people learning to play Magic. We've had a couple games of D&D going on and also Pathfinder Adventure, so there's some role-playing game for people. We've been streaming anime and doing a lot of different anime contests in one of the rooms as well. Right now we're also streaming a movie with some refreshments. That's kind of a resting area for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of good hero story time, superhero story times, and superhero crafts going on for some of the younger kids as well. And then this afternoon we have a artist panel with some local artists in the area come to talk and tell us about their craft. It's definitely been a huge turnout, and we're looking forward to do more of it in the coming years, for sure.
Right on. Well, thanks for chatting.
No problem.
Try to sneak into a D&D game.
Okay.
Hit points, that's how much damage you can take.
All right.
Die.
Okay.
I'll give you seven sheets to keep track of that yourself.
You are an adventurer of some renown. You quest across the lands of Faerun in search of treasure and glory. During your travels, you stopped in the small hamlet of Hargan's Fork to rest and resupply. While in the common room of the local inn, you were approached by a frantic man and a small group of townsfolk. The man, a farmer named Torek, has a young daughter, Talia, who recently went missing. The townsfolk scoured the area around the hamlet and found possible evidence that Talia may have been taken to some ancient and rumored to be haunted catacombs. Her presumed footprints, along with sets of other small footprints, have worn a path to the entrance of the catacombs. Torek implores you to venture into this unholy burial chamber and rescue his daughter. Certainly no one else in town is as able as you to delve into the perilous depths. As a brave hero, you have decided you must help Torek find his daughter. Well, that and the 25 gold piece reward that was offered to you for Talia's safe return. You and some other very capable-looking adventurers travel a short distance outside of Hargan's Fork through farm fields and small rolling hills until you reach the haunted catacombs. As you approach, you notice that the stone slab that once served to seal the tomb has been moved, and it lies broken next to dark and foreboding entrance. This is where our adventure begins.
So, we are here in the entryway here.
What's your name? What you got going on?
My name is Elliot, and I'm a fan of Star Wars, Pokemon, and Overwatch.
Oh, nice. How are you enjoying Comic-Con here today?
It's doing pretty good, and I like it.
What's some of the coolest stuff you've seen?
Probably these pictures that they make, how good and detailed they've done.
Yeah, there's some interesting ones here that I'm noticing. So, what's the coolest costume you've seen so far?
The costume?
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Well, I don't know. I like a lot of all of them.
So, if you were going to put on a costume, what do you think you would wear?
From a movie?
Yeah, sure.
I'd probably be Thanos.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's good to aim big. Oh, yeah, so there's a question I'll ask people. So are you more a superhero or a supervillain?
Probably supervillain. I like villains. They're cool.
Yeah, they seem to have a little bit more depth sometime, you know?
Yeah.
Right on. Well, enjoy Comic-Con, man.
Yep. You too.
So who are you and what brings you down here to Comic-Con?
I'm Captain Jack Sparrow, and what brings me down is the fun of it. There's so many activities to do today. We've got games, there's a movie, there's all kinds of characters walking around. We've got elves, Joker, we've got Star Wars people, everybody's here.
Nice, nice, nice. So what got you into comics?
Honestly, it was, as a kid, my older brother growing up, he was always into them and I'd always sneak them from him and read them, and that's really what started it. But what started the costuming was just meeting people with like minds and then them sharing groups of people who were into it. And so I made friends with them and they helped me along the way.
So how many Comic-Cons have you guys been to? Is this like a normal thing or is you...
This is my second Comic-Con, so...
Number two for him. And this is number a lot for me. So I've been to quite a few myself.
Very, very cool.
Yep.
Well, what else would you like to say about Comic-Con or just, you know, comics or anything in general?
Come enjoy them, hang out with the people, make friends. There's so many friends in this community and people don't know how to connect. Well, this is the place to do it.
Very nice. Well, thanks for chatting today.
You're very welcome.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. Today, we're at the Great River Regional Library in St. Cloud, as they've recently hosted their first ever Comic-Con. We've talked to an organizer, a costumer, and a kid, but now we're going to talk to some of the artists, because it's through these creative individuals and what drives them to create that this entire genre, this entire subculture, exists.
So my name is Dale Carruthers. I'm a local writer here in St. Cloud. I'm working with artist Jesse Switters on some comic books lately. So our first book is this Tales from the Granite City. I did the scripts and Jesse did the art. It's two comic book short stories, and, you know, it's one slice of life story and then a superhero's first day out. So we have them down at UFDA Records and have them through us here at the con today.
How did you get into this?
I've been reading comics since I was a little kid. And I've been a fiction writer for a little over a decade. So I have short stories that I've published in various magazines and anthologies over the last 6-7 years. I ran into Jesse at one of his art shows here in town, and then we started to work together on this project. And I'm actually writing the second issue right now. I got it open on my laptop right here.
Oh, right on, right on.
About how long does it take you all to put one of these together?
For me, to write a script like this, maybe an hour or so, a couple hours, depending on the length. I can defer to Jesse on how long it takes to draw it.
How long does it take to draw it?
Well, the drawing process is lengthy. It can be grueling. It's anywhere between 6 and 9 hours a page, depending on if there's landscapes in the background. I actually used some reference from downtown St. Cloud for the background for this book. So, I mean, that helps a little bit if you have a little bit to work off of, but it's a very lengthy process. You got to be dedicated. One a day. If you can get one done a day, you're making good pace.
How does that go? You're basically translating his story into visual. How difficult can that be?
Well, the first and I feel like the most important thing is to understand the mood that he wants to set with it, understand what his goal is with it, so that I know just how I want to approach it. You don't want it to be too dramatic if it's just a everyday situation like one of our stories are. If it's a superhero, I'm going to go at it in a totally different way. So first and foremost, we have to understand what the goal is, what the mood is, and then I take a look at his panels. He breaks down each panel like her hand is up in the air punching or she's about to launch and fly off. So I take that, I sketch it out on a little post-it note size piece of art, and I share it with him, get some feedback, chew on it for a little bit, and that's the most important part, because what you see on the page at the end is just a blown up version of that post-it note.
All right, nice, nice. Yeah, so how would you draw Superman getting a cup of coffee?
Well, first and foremost, I feel like everybody in the room would be backed up about 20 feet. I don't think there'd be a line that he'd have to work around.
Controversial follow-up question, trunks or no trunks?
Oh.
No, they just brought the trunks back. Bendis brought the trunks back.
Trunks? I think he can wear whatever the heck he feels like. Who cares what anybody says?
You know, sometimes you wear a Batman shirt. Sometimes you wear a Star Wars shirt. There you go. You know? Trunks or no trunks.
That's been a Superman controversy for a while.
Well, what other kind of controversies are out there? Because, you know, that is one thing. Because I've had conversations like this before, you know, with folks. And people like to argue, you know. Sometimes these arguments can be kind of funny. What are some that you've run into today? Because I've certainly run into a couple.
I guess I haven't really seen anything in that vein today. You know, okay. In the industry right now, it's really about letting more people in. And then the resistance to letting more people into the industry seems to be the biggest kind of controversy in comics right now. I guess I don't see why you wouldn't want more voices out there.
Well, I think it speaks to just how personal, gut level this medium is for people and how possessive they are of the world that is theirs at this point. They've taken it in as an extension of reality. You know, some of these people have been reading comics since the 70s and 80s. So to see that level of passion behind it, it shows the power of the medium and how far it's come from the 50s when it was almost killed off. Oh, yeah. So it's a testament not only to the power of the medium itself, but I feel like it's just a microcosm of the world in general, and we're seeing it come to a head. And unabashedly, with most fans, they're very vocal about it. And you'll see where we are as a society a little bit too when you look at the fandom of comics. And yes, we are letting more people in. If you got a problem with it, tough cookies.
Yep, totally, totally, totally. Well, what would you all say to somebody who's just getting started in this or who wants to get started?
Okay, so it's about doing the work. If you want to make comics, get out there and just start making comics. If you're going to write comics, start writing them. That's the key. You know, you can read books about it. You can read about how to write scripts. There's a lot of good information about that here at the library or out on the internet. But the real key is doing the work and learning how to write stories. And then don't stop when it's not that good. You got to go through the bad stuff to get to the good stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
I would say you have to have fun doing it. It's something that Dale keeps reminding me all the time. Are you having fun? I think the moment you pick up that pencil and you have that goal to make something great on the page, you have to enjoy it, because if you don't enjoy it from the get-go and you don't enjoy it early on, there's points in this world where you hate the art. There's times when I didn't want to wake up and work on this page, but I had to get it done. But it's because I developed that love for it early on in our honeymoon phase, because I love to draw everything that my pen touched. So love what you do. Love it as long as you can, as unabashedly and passionately as you can. Because eventually, like any relationship, there's going to be up days and there's going to be down days. And you want to have that relationship built so that you can fight through the tough days. Get out there and create.
Hey, I'm Jonathan Wilson of Cloudy Sky Comics, and I'm just here to sell two of my comics, The Hitman Graduate and Phoenix Star.
And what got you into comics?
Well, I remember this cartoon called Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was this one episode where Doug was just making this little comic called Quailman, and I was a little kid when I saw it, and then it just popped in my head that I wanted to make comics.
Right. So have you kind of been doing this your whole life then, in a way?
Yeah. Well, I've been interested in comics for quite a while, but as for, like, making comics, I've been at it since 2011.
Okay. Right on. Well, how is it going with the selling of the comics and getting into that?
Well, I may not be selling a lot, but it doesn't really matter, because as long as I'm just having fun and everybody else is just, like, out there reading my stuff, and that's how it is with me.
Yeah, right on. What would you tell somebody who may be interested in getting into this?
For those who are interested, for one thing, if you're planning on drawing, it takes a lot of practice. Don't expect that the first project's going to be perfect.
Yeah. Takes a while to get that. Totally. So what are some of your favorite comics?
Currently I've been enjoying reading Doomsday Clock from DC Comics.
Well, right on. So if somebody wanted more information on your comics, how would they find you?
You can find me at cloudyskycomics.tumblr.com, or just find me on Twitter at cloudyskycomics.
Well, very cool. Well, hey, enjoy your afternoon.
Yeah, thank you.
Right on. So what's your name and what you got going on here?
My name is Jamie Coker. We have a booth here at the St. Cloud Comic Con at the Great River Regional Library, and we are selling some awesome artwork. Right. Or at least I hope it's awesome.
Yeah. Caught my attention.
Awesome. Is that too many awesomes?
I don't think so. You can never have too many awesomes.
Well, maybe we'll throw one more in there before this is over.
Okay, sounds good.
Awesome. There we go.
There we go. So how did you get into this?
I've always been someone who drew, even as a little kid. My mom could tell you stories about when I used to take bananas and mash them into the wall to make my masterpieces. When I was a real little kid, I was also into Star Trek, so I drew the Enterprise and all kinds of weird things. And I was also the weird kid in elementary school that used to get kids lunch money for drawing them things. That was me. So from there,
it's kind of always been happening.
It's been a weird evolution, but it's worked out really nice. We've been doing the Comic-Con thing only for about a year and a half or so, and hopefully going to continue doing that. It's just been a lot of fun, met a lot of people, done a lot of artwork personally for people as well. When it comes to cons, the attendees are always the most fun part of it, just because you see their enthusiasm when they see, you know, the things that you've drawn, or they're really excited about a fandom and they want to talk about it and you know about it. I mean, that's a conversation, and I love those conversations.
Oh, absolutely. To go back to, like, your beginnings of everything like this, I think for a lot of creative people, I think a lot of us go through that. We have this thing we just naturally gravitate towards while we're a kid, and then you hit puberty and you forget it. And then you got to come back around to it somehow. It's kind of what I figure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So are you from around here then, or?
Oh, yeah. We live in Waite Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my wife and I draw, she colors. She lets me help color when I'm being good. I try to be good most of the time. But, that's pretty much our routine. Drawing, coloring. If we're not watching a movie or watching something on Netflix while we're drawing, there's some facet of creativity going on.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
So, what would you say to somebody who's wanting to get into this kind of business?
Someone who wants to do Comic-Cons, I would say make sure that you have enough stuff. Always make sure you showcase your best stuff. And as an artist, at least speaking for myself, I know that artwork is, there's a facet of it that's very personal. It's like, you know, you draw it for you, but when you're taken to a Comic-Con, you're sharing with everyone else, getting their opinions, getting their feedback. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to just take a step back and understand that not everyone is going to like what you do, but for the people that do love what you do, that's going to make it 10 times worth it. I'm a Batman guy. I love Batman. I have, if you were to go into my house and look at my memorabilia, I would say a good 75% of it is Batman related in some facet. If you're talking about the video games, I have them. If you're talking about the comic books, I have a lot of those. If you're talking about action figures or statues or just all kinds of crazy Batman cups and mugs and things like that, I've got them.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Anything else you want to add about Comic-Con or anything?
Certainly come out. I mean, a lot of people think that you have to be really into comic books to enjoy a Comic-Con. Comic-Cons are more than just about the love of comic books. A lot of the artists just love chatting with people. Artists love feedback from people, speaking from an artist's perspective. And there's so many things to do, too. I mean, there's gaming here. You can actually come out and do some people watching. The cosplay here is insane. There's a Jack Sparrow and Kylo Ren just feet away from me, which are really awesome. So, I mean, it's definitely worth coming out just to see what it's all about. You know, expand your mind, your horizons a little bit.
Very cool. Thanks for chatting.
Oh, thank you.
Right on. Cool.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. Today we're out at the Great River Regional Library in St. Cloud. They recently held their first ever Comic-Con. And finally, we're going to check out some excerpts from the artist panel that was held at the end of the day about the long and winding road of being a professional artist. Because ultimately, that's what all the little kids running around in their Batman, Superman, and Deadpool costumes want to do, is to create those comics. There's talk of the entirety of the panel discussion being archived with the library, so be sure to check online, both at griver.org and at our website, at kvsc.org. Where you'll find links on the podcast, the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota tab, and the link to this story.
I'm Steph. I'm a little bit on the other end of the spectrum from Ryan and Heidi. Actually, Ryan's statement just made a good deal of sense. I actually work for Split Rock Studios. I'm a graphic designer there, and we do, as Neil was saying, experiential design. We are the kind of company that if you go into a museum, if you go into a nature center, if you go into galleries, we are the ones who actually create those experiences. And I'm responsible for colors, fonts, kind of everything that's two-dimensional in the space, that is on me. And it was not the job I had originally conceived of myself doing when I was in high school. I didn't even know such a thing existed. I hadn't processed the lesson that, hey, look at everything around, look at what people actually make. I had gone to college to be an illustrator, graduated in the worst possible time, right when the economy collapsed. And so I ended up doing a whole mess of different freelance jobs, like card design, children's book design, poster design, kind of toying with trying to figure out what I was actually going to do with this degree that was hard to actually find a foothold with. And at the same time, I had to work a little 9-to-5 jobs as well to kind of make ends meet. But while I was doing that, I never stopped searching out freelance jobs, contacting people. It was one of those kind of mantras, like, you don't want to do 9-to-5, you don't want to do something that doesn't relate to art. That was always kind of, I was born and I decided I was going to be an artist, and it never really crossed my mind that I wouldn't do that. It was just a way of actually finding my way into that kind of, that job. And eventually I actually decided that I was going to go back to school, just get a little degree, just a secondary associate's degree. I was getting a lot of freelance stuff in graphic design, so I decided, okay, I might as well actually get another, like, few letters behind my name. And when I actually was in one of my classes, they had, at the tail end of the class, they had a big presentation that everybody had to create a project showcasing all of their skills and run it in front of their graphic design board. And I went up and said, okay, I wanted something that would actually utilize both graphic design and illustration, since those are kind of my both my wheelhouse. And one of the gentlemen there, he's like, intimidating guy. Just like, I kind of watched him take apart some of my other classmates. And it's like, okay, this is the guy I really, if I can win him over, I'm gold. This is the one who's asking the questions. This is the one who has the most to say about anything. Okay, this is the one you gotta really focus on. So, got done. Yeah, he's hitting me with questions, asking me where my other school was, what I had in mind, what different programs I had utilized. Kind of got through, felt like I'd done well. 2 days later, got an email from my teacher saying that, hey, this particular guy who was like scaring you, this guy wants to actually hire you short term, 2 weeks or so, to act as his assistant. I was like, oh, great, perfect. It's been about 5 years. He is my current, he is my coworker now. I have been there. I'm staying there. We do fantastic work. It's a good job. We're employee owned, and I get to work with, as opposed to, I always thought I wanted to work in a bubble. I was cool with working in a bubble. It's still fun to work in a bubble sometimes as an artist, but you got to get out and step out and communicate with fellow artists. And the advantage of being in kind of almost a creative commune like Split Rock is I have a team. I have a creative team. It's sometimes frustrating because we sometimes, nobody sees eye to eye. It's a whole bunch of creative personality types under one roof, and everybody's got opinions, but at the end of the day, we produce a better product for it. So I think if we're going golden nuggets of information, I think mine would probably be like, do not give up. Just keep going. Even if you have to work a job that you're not keen on for a while, keep looking for other opportunities. Keep your mind open. Don't be afraid to hunt. Don't be afraid to contact people. And just absolutely put yourself out there, participate in contests, put your artwork into the state fair, go to things like this. Just try to touch base with people. So that's me.
And that was artist Stephanie Schmidt and her contribution to the artist panel that was held at the end of the Great River Regional Library's first ever Comic-Con of 2018. There's a good chance that the rest of the two-hour artist panel will be hosted online somewhere, so check back online at griver.org and at kvsc.org for more information on that. And also stay tuned, because with the success of this Comic-Con, there's an extremely good chance that it's going to be happening again next summer. Potentially right in the middle of July, like possibly July 13th, 2019. But like I said, stay tuned for more information. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack reminding you, comic books, comic book heroes, and the entire genre is more important to us than you think. Because when it comes to comics, it's our society's mythos that represent our vision of truth, justice, and the American way. So are you going to be a hero or a villain? The Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPERS, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities.